I'm going to read today from three different portions of the Word of God, and perhaps as we read them, you may wonder what the connection is. But after we read the portions and I speak for a little while, I trust that before we finish, I'll be able to make it perfectly clear what the connection is between those scriptures. First of all, Matthew chapter 18. The 18th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. Verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now let us turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 1. Right at the end of the chapter, verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now we're going to wade back into the Old Testament to the first book of Samuel, chapter 3. I would love to have read the whole chapter. It's very interesting. But we'll just read a verse here and there. Verse 4. That the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. He went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. Look at verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. Look at verse 10. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. Look at verse 16. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. He answered, Here am I. He said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. Sure, the Lord will bless to us the reading of the scriptures. Let us bow for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, calmly and quietly we bow in thy presence. By thy Holy Spirit, help each of us to understand the message. And before we leave this place today, that each of us will be sure that we're right with thee. Take our thanks and bless us for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. When I was quite a lad, there was a man in Britain. Everybody knew him, knew his name, I should say. He's a well-known character, great politician. Got into awful political arguments. But according to him, he never was wrong. He always had the answer. He became the editor and owner of a weekly publication known as John Bull. Great circulation. But one day he got into trouble. Accused of embezzlement. The court case was held, a great court case, everybody interested in it. And he was found guilty of great embezzlement. And was given so many years in prison. At that time, there was a man who worked with what was called the Church Army. Now, the Church Army was an organization where they did some city mission work, similar to, not exactly the same, but similar to what you might call the rescue mission. Only instead of waiting for people to come in, they went out, went and visited in prisons and such like places. And this man, who was an outstanding man with the Church Army, decided he should go along and see Horatio Bottomley, who had been given so many years in prison. Such a man, he thought, I must go and see him. But as he decided to go to that prison that day, he wondered, what can I say to a man like that? What could you say to a man who was a brilliant man, brilliant brain, editor and owner of this publication, man who could write tremendous articles? What can I say to him? As he was going along the corridor leading to the cell, he decided, I'll give him the story of my conversion. I'll tell him how I was converted. And that's how he started. He said, sir, I've come to see you today and I want to tell you how I was converted. And he looked at him. He said, a number of years ago, he says, I went to hear a preacher, and he mentioned the preacher's name. I heard him preach a sermon on such and such a subject. I was so captivated by that preacher and his enthusiasm and the truth that he made known. That night before I left that service, I gave myself to Christ. I trusted him as my Savior. That's how I was converted. Horatio Bottomley looked at him. He says, well, did that take place in such and such an auditorium? He said, yes. Was it on such and such a night? Yes, he said, how did you know? He says, because I was there. I was there. I attended that same meeting. But he says, I turned up my nose at that preacher. I scorned what he had to say. I scoffed at him and said, it's not for me. Two men listened to the same preacher, listened to the same sermon. One yielded and trusted Christ and became what you might call a man of God, seeking to win others. Became a leader and an organizer in the Church Army, seeking to get out after the wandering sinners. The other man scoffed and scorned, made a name for himself, landed in prison, and spent many, many years. I can remember it was quite a day when the day came for him to be liberated, but he never rose again to be anything. Have you ever thought, my friend, of what might be the outcome in life of people who sit not only in the same service, but may sit in the same pew, may attend the same Sunday school, take the different ways in life, One may go up, live his life for Christ. The other may take his own way, while he may make his way in business or in other ways in life, he may go down to tragedy. I read to you first of all from Matthew 18, and the disciples are asking a question. They're presenting their problem to the Lord. What was their problem? Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who's going to climb the ladder of fame? Who's going to be granted the chief place? Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You see, they started at the wrong end. And the Lord brought them right back to their senses. He took a little boy. They put the little boy right in their midst. Now don't come and argue and say, how do you know it was a boy? It may have been a girl. No, it said he put him. Called a little child and he put him. So it was a little boy. Right in their midst. There was his object lesson. A living, practical object lesson. In plain words, he's saying to them, will you look at that little boy? Only a boy. Except ye be converted. That's the word we want. Except ye be converted. Become like a little child, you'll not even enter into the kingdom of heaven. Who's going to be greatest? The most important thing is, how do you get in? Not who's going to take the chief seat. My friend, there's a lot of people start arguing about heaven. In fact, most people believe there's a heaven. There's very, very few people who don't believe there's a heaven. There's more people believe that there's a heaven than what there are who believe there's a hell. A lot of people believe there's a heaven but don't believe there's a hell. Now, the same Bible that tells us about heaven tells us about hell. But everybody's hoping someday or other to be there. I knew one fellow who was an old miser. He would attend any service as long as there was no offering. But he would not attend the service where they were going to take up the collection. Didn't have a penny in the bank. But he was going to the hospital one day and he asked a friend of mine, he said, well, I'm in hospital, will you look after my box? She said, what? He said, my box. He brought his box along, my friend couldn't lift it. With all his money and silver and gold pieces in that box. I don't know how much was there, but a friend told me it was so heavy that I couldn't lift a thing. He said, I'd get my son-in-law to lift it with me. He says, we kept it while he was in the hospital. One day he asked about Ananias and Sapphira, do you think they got to heaven? Well, we're not going to argue about that today, but he wanted to know. And somebody said, oh, I think they'd get to heaven all right, although they wasted their life down here and what they did. He said, that satisfies me. He said, you know, I'll be quite happy if I can just get inside the door. If he could just get inside the door, he'd be all right. A lot of people like that. That's their concept of heaven. Listen to it. Except you be converted. That's the word. Could I ask each one, now don't raise your hands, we're not taking a show of hands. I'm just asking you, you answer it in here. I want to ask each one of you today, have you ever been converted? You see, well, I don't know what it means. You don't? Well, if you don't know what it means, then you're not converted. Because every man and every woman who has been converted, they know something about it. Now, if we move from Matthew 18 for a moment over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we'll get the meaning of the word. Paul writing to these people, he says, now you know what kind of entering in we had amongst you. You know what kind of people we were with you. And how ye turned to God from idols. That's it. That's conversion. You see, conversion is turning. And it's turning together. Con, together, or with. To turning with and to God. God is doing the turning with you, and you turn. You turn to God from idols. See, if you're turning from idols, that takes in the thought of repentance. Turning to God, that takes in the thought of faith. And these two things are joined together like the Siamese twins. Repentance and faith. When you turn away from sin because you've got sick of it. You know, sin is a vile thing. A vile thing. Some people go and tamper with sin until they discover it stings. You know, when you're brought up in the country, you do an awful lot of things that boys in the city know nothing about. I used to be able to tell you all the different kinds of bees. All bees are not alike, you know. All bees don't sting. There's a certain kind of bee, we call them nippers. They could nip, but they couldn't sting. You don't just catch them in your hand. They'd buzz around in your hand. But there was others, the black-headed kind, with the red bodies. Be careful what you do with them. Even if you caught them by the wings, they could bend right over and sting you. Some of them couldn't do that. You learn these things as you go. Many a sting I had with a bee. But we knew how to handle those bees. And sometimes you took one. If you got the wrong one, if it was a black body with a yellow head and a red tail at the bottom part, that was all right. See? But if you took one with a complete black head, black body, and red down at the bottom, oh my. It could turn right round, sting you. A lot of people go and deal with sin like handling the bees. Until they discover they've lifted one and it leaves its sting. It's got you. Likewise with the wasps. It's stung with them, it can be very sore. However, when you think of sin, and people will tamper with it, and they'll play with it until it leaves its sting. And then in the sickness of to turn to God, they can see where sin is going to land them. Ye turn to God from idols. An idol is anything that comes between you and your God. Now that turning is the same as being converted, except ye be converted. And what? And become as little children. I agree with what our brother said in the class today. Sometimes becoming a Christian or being saved is made to sound like an easy believism. Let me tell you this, the older one grows, the more difficult it is for that person to trust the Savior. Here's why. The Lord says, except you be converted and become as little children. That's the hardest thing to get a grown-up man or woman to do, to humble themselves. You see, the first part of Matthew chapter 18 is dealing with humility. The latter part is dealing with forgiveness. And it's in the section dealing with humility that we have our text today, except you be converted and become as little children. You know, a little child is very much dependent on somebody else. When a child is born, you don't put it out in the street and say, there you are, make it for yourself. You don't do that. You don't throw the child aside and say, all right, if it's strong enough, it'll make it. You don't do that with a child. When a child is born, it's very much dependent. It's got to have a mother's love. It's got to be provided for. And that child learns how to depend on someone else. except ye be converted and become as little children. It's the hardest thing to get a man or a woman to realize that they are absolutely dependent upon God for their salvation. Oh, is there not something I can do for myself? Can I add something for myself? No, my friend. Except you be converted. Except you turn. Why should we turn? Because you've been traveling in the wrong direction. You've been traveling on the broad road that leads to hell. And you need to turn. Listen to this. Turn ye. Oh, turn ye. For why will you die? The word of God. The hardest thing to get a man or a woman to realize that before they can be saved, they've got to humble themselves. They've got to become dependent on someone else. Most of them like to rise themselves up to their full stature, their broad shoulders, and they like to say, no, I'm quite capable of working out my own life. If I'm going to go to heaven, God will have to take me on my terms. Well, God will not take you on your own terms. If you're going to occupy a place in God's heaven, you'll have to come on God's terms. That's why it becomes so hard. It's not a matter of two people coming together and coming to an agreement. God says, there's the agreement. It's got the stamp of my approval. You accept my agreement or you'll perish. You see how difficult it becomes for some people. Ah, but you take the little ones. Take a young lad and a young girl. And they come to the stage where they're able to understand this. He's a little boy, 5 years of age. I've told some of you about him before. I saw him the last time I was home in Scotland. He's now a school teacher, doing well, teaching school in a high school. And I was teasing him. When he was 5 years of age, he came home one night from a meeting. He says to his father, is it true what that preacher said? His father said, well, he said a lot of things. What do you mean? He said that if you die, you're not saved, you go to hell. Is that right? His father said, yeah, that's right. Well, he says, I'll get saved the night before I go to bed, because if I was to go to bed and die during the night, he says, I would go to hell. He says, I'm not saved. He says, you tell me how I can get saved. His poor father had never led a soul to the Lord in his life. He didn't know where to start. Jean, his wife, turned round. She says, go on, George. She said, tell the boy how he can get saved. So he had to sit down with his Bible and his own little boy, show him the way of salvation. If he never led another soul to the Lord all his life, it was worthwhile leading his own boy. He's grown up to be a man, and he still looks back to that night when he trusted the Lord. Never forgot it. And now he's going out preaching and telling others about it. Never you despise the youth. Never you despise them. Don't push them aside. That's what chapter 18 teaches. Except ye be converted and become as little children. Yes, you have to be as simple as them. You have to be as dependent as they are in order to be born again. See, it's a new birth. I took you back to 1 Samuel chapter 3. The Bible record of a young lad. And I want you to notice in connection with this and in connection with 1 Thessalonians where they turn to God, how the Word of God comes into it. You cannot be born again apart from the Word of God. You cannot be converted apart from the teaching of the Word of God. Here's a lad. Now, according to Josephus and others, it's reckoned that at this time, Samuel was a little boy about 12 years of age, just reaching towards 13 years of age when this happened. Now, remember the background to this boy. He had a home that was far from being helpful. Oh, I admit he had a praying mother, but he had a father who was all wrong. Remember also, he was brought up in a time when the judges ruled when he was born, and every man was doing that which was right in his own eyes. That's why his father had made the mistake. Doing his own thing. Poor little Samuel was brought into a home where there was jealousy, bickering, a broken home, you'd call it today. And then at a certain age he's taken along to Shiloh, and he's going to help old Eli the priest and Eli's sons, who were wicked young men. They were religious, of course they were. They were looking after the sacrifices, etc., 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 but helping themselves and living in sin. A man may be religious, you know, and be a religious hypocrite. See the paper this week? There's a fellow way up there somewhere in the northwest. Oh, he may have all the clerical robes on, driving while he was drunk. A religious leader. What a shame. What a shame. There's been a lot of them like that. I've seen them rolling down the street with two bottles, one sticking out either side of their coat, hat in the back of their head. Yet he would go up and take the service on the Sunday morning and what he would call dispense the elements. Drunk. Religious hypocrisy. That's what little Samuel had to see, and it must have got home to his heart. And he didn't know the Lord. Oh, he had a praying mother. Now he's serving Eli the priest. He's serving in Shiloh in the temple of tabernacle there. But he didn't know the Lord. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. You see, it is possible to come from a good family, to have a praying mother and a praying father. It is possible that you're exercising yourself in religious duties, yet not to know the Lord, never been converted. Didn't know the word of the Lord, never been revealed to him. You see, is that possible? Yes. I was looking at a prize that I got years ago, still got it, for saying the memory text every Sunday for a whole year. It's a special prize. I wasn't saved at that time. Oh, it's possible to learn your verses. Possible to get all your ribbons or your medals and your prizes and still not to be converted, except you'd be converted. Become as little children, you shall in no wise enter in. You see how important it is for men and women to be converted. Now the word of the Lord came to him, and the Lord called him. Did you notice as I was reading these verses? And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. Then it was the fourth time the Lord came and stood and called at other times, Samuel, Samuel. I wonder, my friend, how often has God called you? How often have you been called? Perhaps he called you when you were on a bed of pain. A lot of people get religious, you know, as they think they're going to die. They want the preacher to come and visit them as they think they're sick and going to die. But when they begin to get well again, they've no time for the preacher. He doesn't need to come now, I'm getting better. God and the doctor men adore when sickness comes, but not before. When sickness goes and things are righted, God is forgot and the doctor slighted. Treat the preacher the same as they do the doctor. We need them when they're sick. My friend, that's not sincerity. It's not the right thing. He called Samuel three times and came the fourth time. Oh, the grace of God. He had his hand on Samuel. He needed Samuel. Samuel was going to be a great man and meet a great need in his nation. How often has God called you? Is it possible he called you when you were just a child in a Sunday school class? Something that a Sunday school teacher said, and you said, that's me. But I'm too young, I'll wait till I'm a little older. I know them that said that. No one fellow who said, when I'm an old man. Yes, when I'm an old man, he said, I'll think the same as you, and maybe I'll get converted then. He was dead and gone within 10 minutes. After saying it. Friend, He called Samuel. They called him three times. And Samuel, remember, he's about 12 years of age, coming up for 13 years of age at that time. But he didn't detect that it was the Lord that was calling him. Until at last old Eli said, Samuel, must be the Lord. If he calls again, just you say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. That's it. Ah, he was a young lad who had an ear for the word of God. He reached that point. You see, conversion is a crisis. It is not a process. There may be a process leading up to it, and there may be a process of development going out from it when you begin to produce the fruits of conversion. But conversion itself is a crisis, a turning to God. And it starts with the ear. Listen to what the Lord himself said. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. You know why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want to know the way of salvation? You get it here in God's book. Faith cometh by hearing. If we don't listen, we won't understand. Samuel lent his ear, and he said, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. When you get over to the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, you have in chapters 2 and 3, 7 letters sent to 7 different churches. And to each one it is said, he that has ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. The writer to the Hebrews says, then you have to lend your ear and you have to listen. Again, not to be like your fathers in the days of provocation, but listen, hear. That's the idea. The Lord said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth, that is, he that listeth, he that gives attention to, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. See, Samuel reached the stage where he was willing to listen. And oh, the message he heard from the Lord, it nearly brought him down to his knees. I believe it did. It gave him the knockout blow when he realized what the Lord was about to do. Listen to what the Lord said to him. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli, he was the priest, and all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, he restrained them not. Therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offerings forever. And poor little Samuel, he went and lay down until the morning. It was coming near morning at the time, the early hours of morning. The lamp was just ready to go out, but he went and lay down again. I don't think to sleep. He lay down, he waited till morning. He opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. The young lad was so shook up that God was a God of judgment, he was afraid to tell the message to Eli. Until Eli came and he said, now look. Look, Samuel, I know it was the Lord that spoke to you. And I want you to tell me everything the Lord said. What is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? That's a good question, isn't it? What is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? And here's what Samuel did. And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. You see, first of all, he had to lend his ear to the word of the Lord. Having listened, he received the word. After having received the word and believed the word, then he was able to tell it out to old Eli. He became God's man. Where do you stand, my friend? Samuel was young. He had a bad background. It was not easy for him. He had nobody to support him except the prayers of his old mother. But he stood his test that day. He accepted the word. He heard the call from God. He was able to repeat what God had said to him. And from then on, it was established that he was a prophet of the Lord. And so for years after, he gave guidance to his people. One man called him God's emergency man. Who's going to be greatest? Except you be converted. Have you been converted, my friend? Have you had an experience like Samuel? Have you listened to the word? Have you responded to the word? Have you? If not, let me ask you, why not? Why not? What keeps you from trusting the Savior? Because if you don't trust him, you'll never occupy a square inch of God's heaven. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts before thee. We thank thee for each one bowed before thee now. And for those who can look back over perhaps many years, and they can mark the very date when they trusted the Savior. But oh God, we pray for those who have never yet been converted and still walking in nature's darkness, never having listened attentively to the word of salvation, not yet counted on the Lord's side. O God, wilt thou put thy hand upon them, save them before it be forever too late. Go with each of us now as we go to our different homes this afternoon. May thy blessing rest upon every home that's represented here, and we'll be ever so careful to give thee all the glory in the Savior's name. Amen. If any young boy or any young girl comes to you, like the boy is telling you, and says, I'm not converted, I'm not saved, tell me, how can I be saved? Would you be willing to sit down with them today? Maybe your own boy, maybe your own girl. Don't despise the little ones. Teach them the way of salvation, will you? The meeting's over.